All processes of formation implies a movement of energy. Now, if there is movement of energy, even that movement of energy must be coming from, and that pure existence which is stable, which you have seen also both from the point of causality and from the point of time, and the same conclusion we can arrive by any other example you take of quantity or modality or anything, or even from the point of space, we always come back to this ground which is stable and which is above all the quantity, all the quality, all the forms of all space, all time. And it is a ground from where all that we call time and space and quantity and quality and relation and modality, all of them arise. Now here there are two important statements that we made. That this ground which is stable must be one and indivisible. This is a further proposition that we have to show, that this reality, this table, is one and not many. It is one and indivisible. Now let us first apply our reasoning and then let us go through the experience. How do we show that the stable ground of these multifarious movements is only one? And that it is indivisible. This is the conclusion to which you arrive when you try to look at it from the point of the reason. Supposing there were two, then there must be a relationship between the two. Because both of them exist. As far as existence is concerned, they must be united. Therefore, if there are two, they must be related. The moment there is relationship, it can be either relationship of succession or a relationship of cause and effect. And cause and effect relationship can only end when there is one ground for it. So even if there are two, we arrive at a conclusion that they must be all ultimately going back into oneness. Now it must be indivisible, because if they are divided, if anything is really divided, then they become two. But these two, if they exist, they agree into one common element of existence. Again there are relationship between the two. And the relationship can ultimately be explained only when you go back to the one ground reality. So reality must be one and indivisible. Now in experience, the Vedanta explains, or it states actually, its affirmation is that ekam eva advitiyam. The reality is one without the second. This is in experience also to be found, that reality is one without the second. It is also avivaktam. The Bhagavad Gita says that it is avivaktam. Although it may appear vivaktam, although it appears divided, in the consciousness of time succession and of duration, there may be a sense of vivaktam. But in itself it is avivaktam, it is indivisible. So even from the point of your experience, reality is found to be one and indivisible. Now, if reality is one and indivisible, then a further consequence follows, that movement of energy must be also in that reality, there being only one reality. Therefore, if movement of energy is there, it must be also in there, it can't come from elsewhere. There are no two elsewheres. If there are only, there were two realities, you can say that movement of energy comes from one source and stability is another source or another reality. But if there is only one reality and if there is movement of energy, it must be coming from that stable reality. That is why we have the concept of Shiva and Kali. Shiva is stable, Kali is the movement. But Shiva and Kali are one. Kali doesn't come out from somewhere else. Kali's root is in Shiva. Having answered this question, now the second question is Shiva obliged by Kali to be in constant motion? Or is Kali under the control of Shiva, so that whenever Shiva says stop, Kali would stop? What is the relationship between the two? Both are one, but movement of energy, which moves out, is it under the control of Shiva or is it not under the control of Shiva? Now, this question can be answered only if we know whether this movement is unconscious or conscious. It is only consciousness which can determine control whenever you want control, and no control whenever you do not want control. If it is purely mechanical and if it is always in movement, it is not controllable. It is only if there is a consciousness that energy can obey the will of Shiva. If it is simply unconscious, then to expect obedience from Shiva, from the ground reality, is impossible.
That is how Shiva put feet on the Kali.
That's right.
When Shiva...
That's right.
That
is the real meaning of
so
it.
So that world cannot be destroyed.
That's right. So it is under the control of Shiva.
Yeah.
Now, whether the energy is ultimately conscious or not is now the central question to which we have arrived. And that is the subject matter of chapter number 10. Is energy, is force, conscious or unconscious? That is why the chapter number 10 is entitled Conscious Force. Where Sri Aurobindo will show how rationally we find that force is consciousness, and also how experientially we find that force is consciousness. Both from the point of the reason and from the point of experience, you come to the same conclusion. Now, I have summarized before you the entirety of chapter number 9. Now, there are two alternatives. Either we read together here the entire chapter number 9, or you will read at home according to your convenience, in which case we can proceed to chapter number 10 right now, or we can hold here and we can read the entire chapter number 9 rather rapidly, so that you become familiar with what are the contents of chapter number 9, and you will see in what way the summary that I have presented to you makes that chapter now much more easy to follow.
I think second alternative is better. If we read together.
If you read together.
Read together, yes.
Then everything will be very clear.
All right. So you have got the text?
I got it photo stamped.
Yes? Oh, good. I will read paragraph by paragraph. I will hold after every paragraph. If anybody wants to put a question, one would be free. But if there is no question, I will proceed to the next paragraph. Page number 71. Is it all right? At the very beginning, Sri Aurobindo cites from Chandogya Upanishad, one indivisible, that is pure existence. This is the revelation, this is the from experience. Now in this chapter, there are three main steps. One is the description of movement of energy that we see all around. Second step is to show that this energy, this movement is subordinate to the stability. And third is the statement that the energy and existence are one, and yet there is a relationship between the existence and the energy. And that relationship will be dependent upon whether the energy is conscious or not. And whether it is conscious or not is then left to the next chapter, that question. These are the three major steps in the whole statement of this chapter. Now, even in the description, in the first part, in the description, you will find that there are three steps. That is, in the first step, there are three steps. First, a description of what we find when we come out of our egoistic preoccupation and look at the whole myriads of universes in the world. What is the impression that we get? Second is a description when we are egoistically preoccupied. And thirdly, once again, when we are not so egoistically preoccupied, in which we get a balance between our own position in that vastness. These are three steps in this description. So let us read.